Good evening. We'll start with page 716, Sing to Me of Heaven. Opening prayer, we'll sing page 7, or 474, page 474. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Let's pray together. Our God in heaven, thank you for being our God. Thank you for caring for us, for giving us life, giving us hope. Thank you for taking care of us. And we some things we'd like to ask is we ask that you'll be with and guide President Trump and individual members of his administration so that they will do things that are right in your sight. We ask that you will guide them in all that they do. Ask that you will guide us, each one of us, that you will guide us in the way you would have us to go when we sin and do things that are wrong. We ask for your forgiveness. Thank you for giving us the food that we have, the good places to live out of the weather. Thank you for all these good things. There's some among us that are sick and otherwise stressed. We ask that you will help them. Often it's confusing to us, and we don't understand why things happen, but we know ultimately that you are in control. We ask that you'll help us to always remember that and to behave accordingly. Again, we thank you for all that you've done and ask that you'll continue with us. And it's through Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Before our scripture reading and lesson, we'll sing There Is a Habitation, page 860.
There is a habitation, there will I dwell in eternity. Oh, Lord, the very nation, whose secret grandeur holds. O Son, I am.
The song of encouragement will be page 939. Page 939.
There is Bible story time tonight, so all the little ones that are going to Bible story time can make their exit at this time. The scripture reading comes from Philippians. It's chapter 4. I'll be reading verses 6 through 9. If you want to follow along, I'll give you a moment to use your technology or the printed word. It's Philippians 4, verses 6 through 9. And I will be reading from the New King James Version. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there are any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you.
Good evening. Good to see all of you with us this evening. Hope you've had a good day, enjoyed the warmer weather. Don't know that we can call it warm weather yet, but it's heading in that direction. And God has blessed us with so many good things. We're glad to be together tonight to worship Him, to honor Him. If you're visiting with us, we're glad you're with us tonight. If you need help in any way, let us know. We'll do whatever we can. And all of you visiting with us online, on video or audio, we're glad that you have come our way as well. I've been asked to lead a prayer this evening for a couple of individuals. One will not name, in fact, I don't know the person's name, but I was told about them this morning. It is a young adult who was the victim of a pretty violent crime. And as a result, they now are suffering grand mal seizures. And so we want to offer a special prayer, and even though we may not know the name, the Lord certainly does. We want to pray for His blessings on this young adult. And also, Jan emailed me earlier today and asked for our prayers again for her sister Jean, who is still in ICU at Franklin Woods Hospital. Things are not going well there today, she said. And her confusion is worse, and just things in general are not going the way they hoped it would. So we're going to pray for both of these individuals, and I know there are many others that we could pray for, but let's focus on these two right now. Our God and our Father, we bow and honor you, Lord, as supreme in all the universe. There is no other God, Father. You are all exalted above all others. And Father, you are glorious, you are majestic, you are eternal, all-powerful, all-knowing. You love us, Lord. You care for us with a deep and abiding love. And because of that love, Lord, you've given us a Savior, Jesus. And now because of Him, we can be brought to your side and we have this blessing of prayer. We want to use it tonight, Father, for this young adult that was mentioned to me this morning. A very horrible thing happened to this young adult. And Father, we just pray that healing can take place somehow. We know the mental scars will be there for a long time to come. But Father, with your help, we believe this person can make progress, that the seizures will subside and disappear, and that life can get back to a greater degree of normalcy. Please, Father, bless this person. And we pray for Jean that you'll be with her, Lord, and watch over her as she is going through a very difficult time. Bless her medical providers that they may have wisdom and understanding of what they're dealing with. May they have the skill to deal with it, and may her body respond. May tomorrow find her in better condition, Father. And bless Jan, who is by her side, who is helping her in every way she can. Father, just bless this situation as well. And for all those gathered tonight and everyone on their hearts, bless all of us, Lord. We need you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A friend has offered us the use of a nice chalet in the mountains not too far from here. And I think most of us enjoy those opportunities. In fact, they've even stocked it with good things to eat and drink. And so the day comes, we arrive late in the evening. We are so looking forward to this week of quiet and peace. And it's then that we realize we didn't bring the key. And there's no way we can get in without, of course, breaking windows and triggering alarms and all of that. And so all the beautiful things that have been provided for us are of no benefit to us because we didn't bring the key. All we can do is go back home and get the key and then come back later. In a similar way, God has provided some wonderful things for us. And one of those gifts we read about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16. Paul wrote there, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all." Peace is a really nice idea, isn't it? It is a wonderful experience when we have it. We usually don't think about it very much until we don't have it, and then that becomes the greatest desire we have, is to have that peace once again. And that's why we want to go on these retreats to the mountains to get away from it all, thinking that there we can escape and just find solitude and quiet. But God has said it is something that is available. But I find that sometimes we don't experience that, even as God's people, as followers of Jesus Christ. Some of us were at a seminar yesterday at Cherokee Church of Christ where Don Blackwell was talking about heart diseases. And he talked about worry, and he talked about fear. And those are things that definitely work against our peace. And too often we find, I don't have that peace. And what is it? What is it that I'm missing? Well, just like that chalet, it may be that we're not using the keys that God has provided. And so tonight I want to share with you what I have found to be three keys that will change worry into peace. So let's get into the Word of God and find those keys. First of all, immerse yourself in God's Word. Immerse yourself in God's Word. And when I say immerse, I don't mean just, 5 minutes a day or 2 minutes a day. There is such a thing as the one-minute Bible. I don't recommend that. I think it deserves a lot more than that. But we find this statement in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, which gets us into this idea of immersing ourselves in God's Word. Peter said, "May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Peter says that peace, as well as grace, can be multiplied to us. And he tells us how. It is in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And the idea, I think, is very obvious. God has provided us with this book, the Bible. It is our way of coming to know God and to know about God. And so why don't we get into that book and spend lots of time in it? Because Peter says that is how grace and peace will be multiplied to us in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 gives us a good example of how this works. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, here we find a crisis that is very much in a very heightened state. It is the nation of Judah. Jehoshaphat is the king. An enemy nation has surrounded Jerusalem, and he is just distraught. He doesn't know what to do, doesn't know what to say. But one thing he does that is right, 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 12, in his prayer, and I think you've heard this prayer a number of times, and it's well worth repeating. He says, O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And you can feel the weight on his heart at that point. He's struggling, he's fearful in one sense, and yet he's turned to the right source. And so just three verses later, you find this statement in verse 15, where the king is now addressing the people of Judah. He says in 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 15, he said, listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid, do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And it turned out to be just that way. God was the one that settled the battle on that occasion. They didn't have to worry about anything. God drove the enemy away. And if they had reflected on that, if they had just thought, you know, think of all the times in the past where God has done just that. I mean, here was Israel coming out of Egypt, and the army of Pharaoh was pursuing them, ready to take them back into captivity. And they were up against the Red Sea, and they thought, there's no way, we are done for. And yet God fought that battle for them. And on other occasions, when it looked like all hope was gone, God stepped in and saved his people, sometimes without their ever having to lift a sword or a spear. And so just knowing God, that's the knowledge that Peter is talking about, is our grace and our peace will be multiplied if we get into the Word and we come to know God better than we've ever known him before. Paul writes it this way in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. This is the result of knowing this God. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? And especially that last verse. I know we often focus on verse 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? But when he says in verse 32, that the one who gave his own son for us, will he not graciously give us all things? And if we know that, if we dwell on that and really meditate on that in our moments of worry and fear, will that not settle our hearts? Will that not help us to get back to that level of peace that we so much desire? It is a peace, as we heard in Philippians 4, that passes understanding, for the world that is, but as children of God, we understand. Our peace is rooted in God. There's a poem that I found many years ago, and I've read it here two or three different times, very short poem, but I think it says a lot about the ability of God's Word to provide us with this peace. It says, though the cover is worn, it's talking about the Bible, by the way, though the cover is worn and the pages are torn, and though places bear traces of tears, yet more precious than gold is this book worn and old that can scatter and shatter my fears. This old book is my guide. 'Tis a friend by my side. It will lighten and brighten my way. And each promise I find soothes and gladdens my mind as I read it and heed it each day. To this book I will cling. Of its worth I will sing, though great losses and crosses be mine. For I cannot despair, though surrounded by care, while possessing this blessing divine. And I think that poem says it very wonderfully, that this book has the ability to settle our hearts. If only we know it, if only we meditate on it, and really take it to heart, that this God who gave us this book is with us. He'll help us through these difficult and fearful things. And so the first key that I suggest to you to use to change worry into peace is to immerse yourself in God's Word. The second key that I find in the Word of God is surrender yourself to God's will. Surrender yourself to God's will. How often have we thought about learning a new skill? And so we buy a book maybe or watch a video or something like that. And we think, okay, I've got this now, but maybe not. Maybe you've got to actually do it. Maybe you've got to put it into practice until you can say, well, I've got this now. Well, that's the idea here. We can read all the promises of God, but until we begin applying those and actually believing those, when we're in those times of fear and worry, then it's not going to help us. That is a key to peace, is surrendering to the will of God. Think about this statement in Isaiah 48, verse 14. Isaiah 48 and verse 14. This is God speaking to Judah in advance. It's anticipating the time when they're going to be in captivity. They're not yet when Isaiah writes this, but they will be in the near future. And God says, when you're there, remember this. Oh, that you had paid attention to my commandments. Then your peace would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. And you see what God is saying there. If only you had kept my commandments, if you had surrendered to my will, you would not be in captivity. You would not be living in a land where you don't understand their language, and it's not your land, and you're just missing your homeland so desperately. This would not have happened, God says, if only you had kept my will and my commandments. And you know, the same things are true for us today. If we give ourselves to do the will of God, things will be well for us. Doesn't mean our lives are going to be free from worry or fear, but it means that when they are beset by those things, we know God is on our side. We know that for a fact. He's made the promises, and so there's no need for us to be fearful. Proverbs 3, verses 1 and 2 speaks again about this idea. Proverbs 3, verses 1 and 2, where the writer says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you." And there it is again, the fact that if you are not forgetting the teachings of God, which you're not going to do if you continue reading it on a regular basis and committing yourself to it, and then he says, let your heart keep my commandments, and you'll realize that peace that God has to offer all of us. And then that passage again that was read for us earlier in Philippians chapter 4. Randy read this to us, and let's look at that again. Philippians chapter 4, first of all, verses 6 and 7, where he says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And there's part of the will of God, surrendering yourself to the will of God. Part of the will is pray. Sometimes that's the last thing we do. We do this, we do that, and finally when we run out of ideas, okay, it's time to pray. No, do that from the beginning. He says, don't be anxious about anything and everything by prayer and supplication. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's powerful language in verse 7. God's peace will guard our hearts. Now, if they're not guarded, they're vulnerable. They're vulnerable to every fear, every doubt that comes along. But with God's promise, our hearts are guarded by his peace. And then down in verse 9, he goes on to say, what you have heard, learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. And there again, you see the idea that if we would just submit ourselves, surrender ourselves to the will of God, then we're going to have a key to that wonderful peace that we so much desire. Romans chapter 1 and verse 7, here's something that Paul says that he says in a lot of his epistles. And other writers say virtually the same thing. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I suggest to you that grace is another very important part of that peace, because sometimes we just can't do enough. We're not capable of doing whatever it takes to resolve the problem. But if we submit to God, then his grace and his peace, what we cannot do, the grace of God covers, and that peace is going to be a wonderful result. So again, submit yourself, surrender yourself to the will of God. And that opens up this blessing of peace in our lives. And then here's the third key that I want to suggest that will change worry into peace. And that is, lose yourself in God's praise. Lose yourself in God's praise. Now, what do I mean by lose yourself? Have you ever been lost in thought? It happens. Maybe you're really thinking about something and somebody's trying to talk to you and they say, "Are you listening?" Oh, I'm sorry. What were you saying? Happens a lot with husbands, I've found. but that's the idea. We're absorbed. We're just totally onto that, and no other distractions are getting in. If we could do that with praise of God, focusing on Him and all of His wonderful traits, all of His wonderful qualities, that would be a great key to our peace. I know that because of Isaiah 26 and verse 3, for example. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. He says, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Now, what does that mean for a person's mind to be stayed on something? Well, it's focused. It's fixed on God. And when I'm fixed on God, my mind is stayed on Him, I'm thinking of what an awesome being He is. There's no one like Him. And I'm thinking about His powerful qualities, those amazing qualities, but I'm also thinking about His love and His grace and His mercy, His compassion, and all of those very personal traits of God. And listen again to what He says there. He says, "He will keep him in perfect peace." Perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And that's indicated by the fact they have surrendered to the will of God. And so there's a key, is for us to lose ourselves in the praise of God. Psalm 46 is another passage that indicates this. Psalm 46, let's look at verses 8 through 11. Now, at first you may wonder, well, what does this say about peace? He puts a lot of emphasis on war and conflict, but notice what God can do with that. He says, "Come behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire," and all of those are instruments of warfare. God is disposing of them. God is saying, enough, there's no more need for that. Peacemaking is the idea. And then in verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." And when we focus on that very fact, here's what we'll say in verse 11, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." The God of Jacob is our fortress. He surrounds us. We sang just last week, I think, the song, "Surround Us, O Lord, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people." And that's what this is saying. God surrounds His people. He is our fortress. And so when we devote ourselves to Him and we focus on Him, we lose ourselves in praise, and that peace is restored. And let me share with you Psalm 29. Turn with me to that passage. Psalm 29, it's only 11 verses, but I think it's a powerful statement of the power of God and how it can change our focus on things around us. Psalm 29, beginning in verse 1, we're told it is a psalm of David. "Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness." And he's saying there, praise God. Give Him the praise that He is due. Verse 3, "The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, all cry, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. You see the lead up there? All of those verses, right up to the very end, are focused on the power of God and God's just overwhelming power and might. Nobody can withstand him. And so how does that make us say peace? Because he's our God. He has offered to be our God. And once we have surrendered ourselves to his will, then we know. We praise him and we remind ourselves every time we praise him, Lord, you are my protector. You are my fortress. And is that not going to lead inevitably to a sense of peace? In John chapter 14 and verse 27, Jesus made this promise to his apostles, a promise that applies to all of his followers, I believe. He says in John 14 and verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Now those apostles to whom he was speaking on that occasion were going to face turbulent times beyond anything that we've ever seen. And yet Jesus said, I'm giving you my peace. Not the kind of peace the world gives, which only is as good as the conditions outside. My peace, Jesus says, endures. As long as you are focused on the Lord, as long as you are submitting to his will, as long as you're praising God and keeping your focus on him, you will have that peace. Worry is a great thief, and it takes from us the peace of mind, the physical health that we enjoy, all of the good things in life, even our faith in God sometimes. And that's why it's so important that we learn these keys to changing worry into peace. Christ wants you to have it. He's made it available. It's at your reach. You can do it. You can get it if you'll simply submit. Tonight, if you're ready to submit to his will, you believe Jesus to be God's son, you're ready to turn away from sin, you're ready to confess him before others, and tonight you'll say, yes, I want to be baptized, to be placed in Christ, to have my sins washed away, then that will bring you the peace that you've never known before. Why not tonight? And if you've done those things and yet sin has intruded in your life, now has a grip on you again, come, repent of that sin. Pray for forgiveness. We'll pray with you, whatever we can do to help. Why won't you come as we stand and sing?
Oh, dear. Oh.
Please be seated. As we prepare our minds to offer the Lord's Supper again, I will sing page 382, the first and second verses, "Why Did My Savior Come to Earth?"
Why did
give you two scenarios real quick. We're about to take the Lord's Supper, by the way. If you didn't have a chance to grab the communion, if you'll raise your hand, Dan will bring it to you right now. Let me give you two scenarios. One scenario, a wife is waiting at home for her husband to come home from work. It's their anniversary, and she just knows they're going to have a wonderful evening together, remembering their marriage. And the husband calls, and she thinks, oh, this is it. This is the big surprise of where he's going to take me tonight. And he says, I'm running a little bit late. You know, I got caught up at work, and I'll be home 20 minutes. And so she's all dressed up and ready. And he gets home, takes his shoes off, takes his coat off, goes, sits on the couch. And she walks out. What's going on? What do you mean, what's going on? I've had a hard day at work. I want to watch the game. I have a presentation due tomorrow. And she's like, what's our anniversary? And he's like, oh, all right, let's go to dinner, but I got to be back in time for the game. Quick poll. How many women are really excited about that evening, right? Probably not many. How about the guy who maybe takes off work early, has the evening planned out, because he wants to focus on the reason that he married this woman, and he wants them to spend this time together. Now, both men spent time with their wife doing what their wife wanted to do, but there was a different desire behind it. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul is talking to the church at Corinth, and he's telling them, yeah, you're going through some of the motions, but you're not doing the Lord's Supper. this is such an important thing. And he goes and he tells them, you know, for I received from the Lord, what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. It's more than just going through the motions. This is important. I want you to understand what you're doing, Jesus says. And as our spouse, as us as the bride of Christ, our spouse has asked us to do something that doesn't take a lot of time, but it takes a lot of heart. And Paul says this, whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. This is not something that we just kind of go through the motions on. This is an important part of our worship. It is imperative for us every week to realize the sacrifice that was made for us and to enjoy this anniversary, if you want to call it, this celebration, this communion that we have with each other, but most importantly, with our spouse, with Christ, who gave his blood and gave his life for us. I really appreciate how now we do the Lord's Supper at the end of service, and I'm not sure all the reasons it was done, but I appreciate that now it's after the invitation. So if someone has things in their life that they want to change, that they can do that. They can examine themselves before this very important act, before we do this. So as we go to God in prayer over this, we'll pause for just a moment, and if there are to let you examine yourself, and if there's things that you need to respond to the gospel from your pew right there between you and God before you take this, or if you're in your home watching this now, if there's things that you need to make right, let me plead with you that you do that before we partake in this. Father in heaven, we're so thankful for Jesus. We're so thankful for the sacrifice that you gave your only son to die for us, to be our salvation, to be our savior, to be our hero, to take us from a life of sin and introduce us into a life where our cups overflow. We can never repay that great sacrifice. And we're so sorry that it had to happen, but we're so grateful that it did, because you loved us so much to have that relationship with us. So as we take this bread that represents the body of Jesus that was beaten and that was ripped apart, help us to remember that that was our punishment that he took. And help us to examine ourselves and take this bread in a manner that is pleasing to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's give thanks for the cup. Father in heaven, we come again thanking you again for Jesus and the sacrifice, specifically the sacrifice of the blood that was so generously poured out for us, every single drop of Christ's blood. Father, we realize that should have been our blood, but that wasn't part of your plan. That wasn't the redemption. That wasn't what God us a relationship with you. And because of Christ's blood, we have life in you, and we are so thankful. And as we take this cup that represents this blood, Help us to examine ourselves. Help us to do this with minds and hearts focused and committed to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have an opportunity to participate in another act of worship. I think it's just as important in any act of worship, whether it be the Lord's Supper, singing, our prayers, our Bible study, whatever it may be, that our heart is fully engaged and in it. I think it would be just as perverse for us to drop our money in the basket and say, "There, I did it. You know, what more do you want from me?" Just like, you know, going to dinner with our wife and not being engaged and being there. When we give, it should be of our whole heart and of our whole ability, and we should give like David said, what we give should cost us something. It should hurt a little bit. That's how much we give. And so as we go to God in prayer to thank him for our blessings, let's again examine ourselves and what we're able to give. Father in heaven, you've blessed us so much with so many earthly riches as we sit here this evening in this nice, warm, beautiful building and prepare in a few moments to go to our warm homes and our comfortable beds with plenty of food and clothing. We realize that there's so many people in the world that their cups don't run over with these kinds of blessings like ours do. And what a heavy responsibility it is to be stewards of these wonderful blessings that you've blessed us with. And Father, if we're honest, it can also blind us sometimes. These beautiful things that you've given to us can obscure our sight from you. They can distract us. And many times we can find ourselves living for them instead of living for you. And so we ask you tonight, Father, to challenge us, that you challenge us to be 100% focused on you. That every breath we take, that every dollar we earn, that every moment we have is committed to you. Father, help us to give when there is needs. Help us to serve when there's opportunities. Help us to love in all times. Father, with our financial gifts that we're able to give this evening and today and every week, help us to commit to making the decision, not right now in the pew, but the week ahead of time, that this is how much we're going to be able to do, and this is what we're going to want to be able to do financially. Help us to use our talents. Help us to use our other gifts, our homes, our vehicles, our food, our excess, to help our neighbors, to help our brothers and sisters in need. Help us to have the hearts of charity. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we close, let me mention one quick thing. Tomorrow is January 27th, 1:27. A few weeks ago, I challenged us to pray for our children. 1 Samuel 1:27 says, "For this child I have prayed." So tomorrow, we want to focus on praying for all the children in the congregation. You all have stepped up so well. Every single child in our congregation has someone praying for them. And what a blessing that is. And I hope that that has so far bore good fruit for you. Tomorrow, though, what I want to challenge you to do, and I know that not everybody might be able to do this, but if you are able, pray through the church directory for every child listed in the church directory. I'm going to try to get up early to start on it, and I think it would be a good idea if you're comfortable, or at least if you know their parents, to send a quick text or an email and say, I want you to know I prayed for your child today. Now, if you have specific prayer requests, knowing that perhaps hopefully 300 or 400 people may be praying for your children tomorrow, if you have specific requests, send them to Tim or send them to me, and we'll make sure that they discreetly come out on the daily focus. Maybe we'll just use first names or however you want to do that. But if you have prayer requests for your children, by all means, let's make sure that we're praying specifically. Otherwise, we can pray for health, safety, spiritual development, and their faith, I think are good places to start. But remember, tomorrow, 1:27, pray for all the kids in the directory. By the way, if you don't have the directory app, it's easy to download. There are some in the directory that look like children that are like 25 years old now. But if you don't know the difference, guess what? It's okay. You can pray for them too. but let's pray for as many as we possibly can. Thanks, John.
Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for the two opportunities we've had today to gather together, blend our voices in praise of you. We pray that all that has been done on each occasion has been pleasing to you and that you have been glorified by our worship services. Be with us this week, Lord. Help us to abide in your word, to be constant in prayer, to do all things that you would have us to do. When we err, let us be quick to come to you and pray for forgiveness and correct those things that we do that are wrong. And all these things we pray in Christ's name, amen. Haven't been given any announcements. I hope you have a great week. We are dismissed.